Euzubillahimineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillah ve salatu ve selamu ala Resulillah. Ve eşhedü en la ilahe illallah vahdehu la şerike leh. Ve eşhedü enne seyyidina Muhammeden abdühü ve resuluh. Ve eşhedü enne belleğe risale ve edde el emane ve nasaha el umme. Ve cahede fî sebilillahi hakka cihâdi hattâ etâhu Allahu l-yakîn. Okay, now, basically this course is Islam 101. The purpose of that course is to provide the minimum amount of knowledge that any person needs to know about Islam, regardless if that person is a Muslim or not Muslim. It doesn't make much difference. It is for the Muslim, so they can start from it, have the basis, and they can start to develop these bases. Actually, the whole entire development is we have Islam 101, after that going to be Islam 102, it's going to be Islam 103, and it's going to be Islam 104. And by the time you finish 104, you will be in very, very good position to comprehend and to behave and to as a good Muslim. There are, after that, going to be extensive studies or a different series for studying exclusively the Quran or the Sunnah or whatever the forbiddens and so on and so forth. But that's the purpose of this class. So we will have a little bit of everything. What is the component of this curriculum? Okay, we will have introduction to the Muslim belief. We will have introduction to the purification. We will have an introduction to the rituals, which is going to be the declaration of the faith, the prayer, the fasting, the poor dues, the zakah, and the hajj. And we will have an introduction to the ethics and etiquettes of the Muslims. And we will have an introduction to lawful and forbiddens. Basically, I will start to move between those materials. I have already scheduled, set for it, and probably the schedule is going to go to the internet, or I'm going to try, because the limit help that I have, I will start to announce maybe every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks, that's what we're going to study for that month. Okay, to get the most benefit out of this class, there are a certain requirement that I will highly recommend for you, so you can, inshallah, get the benefit out of the class. That's for Muslim and also for the non-Muslim, because non-Muslim, they can be around. Okay, pray. It comes to recommendation number one, pray. If you are a Muslim, stick to the 5 prayers a day, if you really want to get the benefit out of that class. If you are not Muslim, pray the way you pray. Pray to God to guide your heart, to guide your soul, to give you peace and to give you tranquility. But pray. That's the first requirement. For the Muslim and even for the non-Muslim, they are for as an act of worship or as an act of acquiring knowledge. Study Quran every day. I'm not going to identify to you what you need to study. It can be a one small verse. It can be only one page. It can be a 3 ayah in the surah. But just, you have to be there every day. So if you are doing it as an act of worship, do it. If you are doing it as an act of acquiring knowledge, do it. That's the second thing you need to do. Have the third thing, have special moments to reflect between you and to establish a relationship, which is zikr, remembering God. Take time. Take that time maybe when you wake up at the end of the day, whatever that is, but take time to reflect, to evaluate, to say stop. There is a relationship between me and between God. I have to establish this relationship. I have to be there. I have to evaluate. Am I in the right direction? I'm doing the right thing? I'm acquiring the right thing? All of these things. You have, like you spend sometimes with all the people that you interact in your life, you have to have a time for God. I'm not asking for even 5 minutes. It can be 1 minute. It can be less than 1 minute. But be consistent. Okay, the last thing that it can help to understand that course is the crowd. Stick to the good crowd. Be a very, very selective when it comes down to your friends and associate and whom you deal with. Okay, life is too short to be wasted just just to be wasted like this. So do your best to be with the people that they can help you out to be a better human being. Okay, and don't dwell too much about the people that they hurt you or around the crowd. Just don't spend much time. Your life and mine is a lot more shorter than we expect and what we think. And whatever past, the most important thing is what's going to be coming ahead. Okay. So that's basically what I wanted to say as an introduction to Islam 101 in general. Okay, and after that we will, the first thing we're going to study in the like I said, it's going to be the fundamentals of belief. Usually, basically what I'm going to try to do, I'm going to have to try to get two lines going on. One line going to start to go with the what you supposed to, the fundamental of belief, purification, and rituals. And on the other side, I'm going to try to start right away also with something that I never talked about before, which is the forbiddings. We need to know what is forbiddings. It is not good enough that we know what we're supposed to do. Also, we have to know what we're supposed not to do. And the ethics and etiquettes, what we're supposed to be doing on there. Okay, first, I'm going to start by the introduction to the aqidah. What is aqidah? Or fundamental of belief. It comes from the meaning fundamental of belief. The purpose of the aqidah, or the fundamental of belief, is building a character. Because you as a human being is nothing, literally, your behavior controlled by the group of ideas that you have. What is the difference between a teacher, lawyer, and doctor? A group of knowledge, a certain branches of knowledge, makes every one of them behave a certain way in a certain environment and a certain circumstances. And none of them can replace the other, regardless how good is he or she. I cannot imagine a lawyer in a surgery room. Or I cannot imagine a surgeon in a court, or any one of those in a classroom. So the difference between us is the difference of ideas. And actually, some of the discrepancies in between us also, they are discrepancies of ideas. As a human beings, we are a human being, the same nature. But ideas is what it make it or break it. So the value of the religion or the fundamental of belief is it builds the character. And here the way it builds the character. If you have the right idea and the good idea, automatically you will find yourself behaving right. If you have a confused ones, you're going to end up confused. If you have a wrong one, you will do the wrong thing. So good ideas, good behaviors. Bad ideas, bad behaviors. Confused ideas, confused behavior. And that's not only in religion. That's in all aspects of our life. And that's the difference between A students and C students or a flunk students. The same professor, the same curriculum, the same textbook. But one got the right ideas, one have a rough way, one flunked. Okay, so that it comes the value of the fundamentals of belief, building a character. What are the basic fundamentals that we're supposed to believe in to build our Muslim character? There are six major fundamentals. Six major fundamentals. What are those six major fundamentals? Number one, believing in God. Number two, believing by revelations. Three, believing by messengers. Four, believing by angels. Five, believing by divine destiny in our life. And six, believing in day of judgment. Okay. To give very, very quick one, and after that I'm going to go to one at a time. In believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or God, we believe that there are a certain knowledge that we're supposed to know about Him. Certain things we need to know about Him. So we will study that together. When we come to believe in revelations, that we believe that He sended messages through messengers to the human being, to direct them to the straight path, or at least to help them to fulfill the purpose of their creation. Every and single one of us must answer the question, why I am created, why I am alive, what I supposed to be doing with the gift of life. Am I what am I just because I am, or this is the way it is, or there is something else that I supposed to be doing? Something expected of me. There is a job description for me in this life. Okay, that's the value of the prophets, believing in messengers. We will know also, when we come to this area, we will talk about the believing in messengers. I will be talking about addressing three major things. What is the difference between messenger and prophet? What is the meaning of the word miracle? And the attributes of the miracles. Also, I will be talking about what is the job of the messenger? What are their jobs? What is their status? Are they holy or they are not holy? What is the difference between them and between prophets? You need to know those things. I'm not going to go by details, but you're going to have a little bit a dosage about every and each one of those. After that also we will talk about the angels. The angels as the creatures of God, that they interact with our life. They do exist in our life. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. But what is their status? What is the nature of the relationship between us and between them? Are they a subject of worship? What are we supposed to know about them? What are we supposed to know about their functions? For instance, there are angels of death. There are angels of revelations. And on and on and on. We will learn a little bit about that. Also, when I talk about the divine destiny, what it means. Basically, we will talk about there is a fine line between what in your life that you have no control over and it's been ordained on you, and in this area there is no reward or punishment. Like when you've been created, how long you're going to live, being male and female, all of these things, you have nothing to do with it. There is no reward and punishment for it. And there is also another area in your life, you have a control over it, which is your behavior. The yi and ni. So you will know the jurisdiction of this area, you will know what it need to be done or what it not to be done, and you will know that you have a right to choice, you have the faculty to choose what are the tools you're supposed to use and what are the consequences of your choice. After that, we will talk by a little bit of details about introduction to the hereafter, life after death. That in this, I will talk about what it called the life cycle. You are already been involved in it. I will talk about it, and also I will talk about that after death there is a resurrection, and there is account for everything you did, good or bad, and after that there is an internal life. And what does this internal life look like? What is the criteria that you will be using for your evaluation? You will be evaluated. How you will be evaluated? What are the criteria? Everyone is a nice guy, you know? Everyone is very, very nice guy. Are you really a nice guy or not? It's going to show. Based on a certain standards, inshallah, we'll be talking about those standards. And how the Day of Judgment look like, how the resurrection process will take care at the start, what are the early signs of the Day of Judgment, what are the immediate signs of the Day of Judgment, and what is the process of the Day of Judgment, till the internal and at the end. And in that part, once we finish that, that's the end of the fundamental, or what you're supposed to know about the Aqidah. A purification. There are basically four categories, four major categories. I will only cover one category in Islam 101, which is the purification of the body and the purification of the clothes and the purification of the place where you pray. So we'll know a little bit about what it be considered in Islam is not pure, and what be considered pure, and what is the tool of purification, like the water, what is the character of that water is supposed to look like, and what are basic things that we supposed to do and when, like having the wudu, the pollution, or having a ghusl, a complete bath, and also I will cover in that how to wash a dead body, a dead person, and prepare a dead person for funeral. So that will be included in Islam 101. In the ethics, inshallah, when it comes down to fundamental of belief, I will talk about the Shahada, the declaration of the faith. What are the requirements for Shahada? Is there any requirement? Yes. What is the commitment of Shahada? What it takes to fulfill the obligation of Shahada or the declaration of the faith? There are certain things that you're supposed to do before and after, like a prerequisites, and after that a commitment that you have to fulfill. And after that we will study the rest of the rituals, like for instance the prayer. We will take it from a different angles. When we come to the rituals, we will study three major things. Number one, why should I do this? Because why gonna answer the question, you know, you use your faculties, so when you do it, you know what you're doing or why you are doing it. So we need to know why I should pray. So we'll study that. And we will study also, for instance, how. How it's supposed to, what is the requirement for it? And number three, what are the consequences of not doing it? Remember, all the time, remember there is something else on the top. What is that thing on the top? Building a character. You know what I mean? There is a goal which is building a character. When you, these are, the rituals are tools help you to build this character. When you take one tool and you throw it away, or you compromise it, what is the impact of the throwing this away on your character? You know what I mean? Okay, the same thing we will study with fasting, the same approach we'll do with the poor dues, and we will study also on the Hajj, the pilgrim. Ethics, it will go on the other line, like I said, but before that there is a priority, the forbiddens. We will study why God sent the list of forbiddens. And they are the same. When you look at the Ten Commandments of Moses, they're going to be the identical one. There is no contradiction. One of the things we will know, there is no contradiction between the teaching of prophets and messengers. No contradiction. But we will find out why. Why there is a forbiddance. We will know, we'll study what you can call the attributes of the forbiddance. What we supposed to know about them. Before we know them, there is a difference between the two. What I supposed to know about them is one thing, what they are is a complete different ball game. You know what I mean? They are different. So we'll study these two, and after that I will study the major ones. There are actually 87 forbiddens. But basically for the 101, we will take, I think, about less than 20. We will go through a major ones, about less than 20. And I will talk about the ethics, because the ethics is the bottom line of building the character. Or the ethics is actually the description of the character. Because now when I say building a Muslim character, that's abstract. Right? But how you will know that this character is a Muslim character? From the behavior, from the ethics, from the etiquettes. How that person or this, that man or this woman will behave, and how they supposed to behave. And that's the bottom line. And that's going to be the end of Islam 101. I'm expecting to finish that course by March. Okay. I am going to go through the course regardless. I'm going to go through regardless who will come and who is not. And like I said, to get the benefit out of the class, you have to be very consistent. I understand sometimes it can be cold, sometimes you have circumstances or whatever. You can catch it up. It's going to be on the internet. And I'm going to leave the website. I have a technical difficulties that I don't have a time to put it. And I need volunteer. I have volunteer, but I'm going to see how the even thing is going to go to them in that sense, to get it, the material going on. But please be consistent, because that this information is to help you. And it's going to help you tremendously in your life, and it's going to help you as a citizen. And this is part of the reason why I'm very committed to that. And I mean it, a citizen. You owe this community that you are living in. It is not good enough that you owe, that you are good to yourself or good to your family. No, you have to be a good to your all overall community, which it is going to include everybody. They have the right to live in peace, and you are the one who going to generate that peace. And if you don't know how to answer their questions and to secure them, you know what I mean? You are not doing your job. You cannot force anybody to believe by what you believe in. But they have the right to be secure. Your neighbor, a Jew, a Christian, Buddhist, Zoroastrian, no religion, has the right to come and ask you. And he has the right to have the right answer. Not necessarily giving the answer that he or she wanna hear. But you give them the right answer. That's their right. And that turned out to be obligation on all of each one of us living in non-Muslim culture. If you want to be in a peace in it, you have to know what you're doing and you have to be a positive partner in your community. So you learn for your own good, for your family good, for a small community good, and for the large community, good. Because some of those basic fundamentals you will see people coming and ask you about. Okay. Any questions? I'm going to stop here for a minute and see if there is any question till this nice machine is acting today. Okay, any questions? Time for it. Okay, go ahead.
But I have a question about Yom Ha'atzmaut, the day before Eid, and I have a question on Eid, the etiquettes, of the important things to do.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question again?
I have a question about the Eid that's coming up.
Yes.
The day before, the significance of it and the important things, this basics, and Eid also.
Okay. Basically, on the Eid, there is, it's called the one day which is the ninth, it's called Al-Waqfa. Al-Waqfa is the people, when the people go and stand in a place called Arafah. And in Arafah, that's the day, okay, give me 1 second, please. Okay, the people go there, you know, after they do the Ihram, and after they do the Talbiyah and Tawaf al-Qudum, that they greet the in Mecca, they go to, in that day, everybody goes to Arafah, a place, a mountain called Arafah, and they stay there till the sunset. They pray till the sunset. And after that, they come to a place called Muzdalifah, and they collect the stones from it, the little ones, yes. And after that, they go to a place called Mina. And in Mina, they do Rami al-Jamarat, the first one. And after that, they started to go and make Tawaf al-Ifadah. That's basically Tawaf al-Ifadah. That's going to be the beginning of the first day of Al-Hajj. Because they already, by the night, they were active and they were coming down, and now they are Tawaf al-Ifad. After that, they, based on that, they do what it's called Tahallul al-Asghar. That means they will interrupt the state of Al-Hajj because they finish that part, except in certain things. I will talk about it by details when I come to it. And they started to change the clothes, shave the head, and they start the slaughtering, the start of in those days, and they go there. They started to go back to their life, with the exception of a certain behavior, like the normal relationship between the husband and the wife. They don't go to that till everything is finished. That's basically what it is, very, very quickly. Okay. Very highly recommended, highly recommended, is a people fast from the first day till the ninth. And if you can't on the ninth, if you can't fast on the ninth, it is very, very highly recommended that you do so. The exception of this rule is the people that they performing the Hajj itself, because it is very hard for them. Okay, and the first day of the celebration, you should not be fasting. No, that's a no-no. Okay, so yes, go ahead.
Now, I read a hadith on Yom Ha'atzmaut.
Yes.
If you fast, it's better than jihad, and everything you did can be forgiven. Is that true?
And that day, you mean?
Yeah.
Every first day?
No, on that day.
Okay, and that day, that's a day of forgiveness. That is the day of forgiveness. And this is why I'm saying it is very highly recommended to fast on that day, to wipe out your sin. But to get that hadith and to have a better comprehension, wait till we come to the meaning of the word Hajj. When I come to explain it. And what the Hajj is all about. So we take that hadith, and when we put it in there, it will give you a different perspective. What you said is right, but it's going to give you a bigger picture. Okay? Now, we're going to go to